Proverbs 16, verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your willingness to guide us and direct our lives. I pray that you would help us to understand at least some principles from your word that give us insight about how we can be assured that you will direct our lives. Father, I pray that you would teach us. I pray that you might use me. I pray that you'd be glorified in all that is said and done now at this time. Help us, Lord, as we hear your word, Lord, may we be willing to follow it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As a child of God, we can be confident that God will lead. And so there's two aspects that I want to just bring out as a way of introduction. And that would, number one, be the sovereign leadership of God. That means, as this passage says, a man may devise or scheme or direct or plan whatever purpose to go his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And we saw that this morning really with Joseph. And Joseph, in a sense, that God was doing lots of things that he was really not planning and purposing on, and yet God was directing him to fulfill his will. Some other verses, don't turn to these, but Proverbs 20 and verse 24 says, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? God again is sovereignly directing things. Jeremiah 10 verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And so sometimes God is directing when we aren't conscious of him directing. He's guiding when we're not really conscious. In fact, sometimes we're not so willing to do his will, and he's still guiding and directing. And I think of Jonah. Jonah was not planning on taking that submarine tour when it happened. And so, you can never get away from God's sovereign hand and his leadership in that way. As it says, sometimes it's in correction, discipline, but it's always out of love and compassion to have you fulfill his will. And then the other part, which I think we often think of God's leadership, is his personal leadership. And that's as we're walking with God, God wants to direct us, wants to guide us, wants to show us what he would have us do. One of the most personal psalms in the Bible is Psalm 23. Now, there's a lot of I's and my's and me's in that psalm, and it's about God's leadership in a way. The Lord is my shepherd. And in there he says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And then later on he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so all through there, we have God's leadership. I think of Jesus in John 10, where he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So there's a sense in which we understand that God wants to personally lead us. I think at times I know I've heard this before, that people, when they're talking about counseling others who are going through a very difficult time, and they say it's trite to go to Romans 8:28. I don't think it's trite. I think it's God's truth. And I think even when you're going through a trial, you need to know that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That's a Bible truth, and it's good to give to someone. And I think at the same time, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is where I want you to turn, if you would. Let's go there back a little bit. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That when we talk about personal leadership, Romans 8, 28 is God's sovereign leadership, but sometimes Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we may overlook that on that personal realm, but it says very clearly, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and then he shall direct thy paths. And so God says, I want to give you some leadership direction. So I want to take this time here to talk about God's direction. So four thoughts to help you experience the leadership of God in your life. And so number one, the directions. Trust in the Lord. That's the right confidence. That's where you put your faith. It's faith on a solid rock. It's not movable. It's not shifting. It's there where you're going to step on it. It's going to hold your weight. It's going to hold you up. God will not give way. God will not deceive. God will not leave you on your own. He will direct you if you trust him, and so you put your weight upon him. I have a story here that I'll just share it. It's back in January of 2006, a man named Brian Perkins was in the hospital getting tested because his son, teenage son named Destin, had a problem with his kidneys and needed a kidney. Both of his kidneys were not working, and so his father was a perfect match. The interesting thing was about his father, Brian, that he had been put in prison, have drug and weapons charges, and was under a life sentence or possibly being put under life sentence. And so the doctor said for us to test his kidney and all that, that they couldn't have any kind of ankle bracelet, any kind of thing like that. And so for the next few days, he was in there getting the test done. And on the final day, he didn't show up. And I'm not sure how all this worked out, but he didn't show up. And he left a letter. And he told his son, "I'll come through for you, son." But he never came back. He left his son to die. His son did not die. He was able to get another kidney, and he lived through it. But it was interesting that a year and about 16 months later, that they caught him. They caught the father, Brian Perkins. He was down in Mexico, and some U.S. Marshal's office brought him back. And so they asked the son, "What do you think of your dad? You know, what do you think of the situation?" And he wrote these words. He said these words in a news article. He says, "I don't know how he could lay his head down at night just knowing that he ran away and left me up there to die like that." Wow. That was what his son thought of his father. They went on to ask him what should happen to his father and his girlfriend, his father's girlfriend. And he said they should be in jail. Both of them deserve to be there. As far as I'm concerned, the rest of his life, they both deserve to be behind bars. Let me just say that is never what God will do with you. When God says, "I'll be there," he's there. When God says, "I'll be faithful," he's faithful. And so you and I, we can, with confidence, that's our right confidence, trust in the Lord. Put your dependence on him. And then he goes on to say in this passage, so the directions God gives is trust in the Lord with how much? With all thine heart. So depend upon him, rely upon him, rest upon him. In fact, that word trust even has at times where it has aspect of relaxing, of just letting yourself go in the sense of totally dependent upon God. And so God says, "Hey, you want my leadership? Then give me all your heart." God's reliable, therefore you can rely upon him. God is dependable, therefore you can depend upon him. God is one who is trustworthy, therefore you trust him. And I guess as I was thinking through this and praying about it, I just, my thought came, God, open our eyes to help us to see how trustworthy you are. Open our eyes that we can see that you're totally dependable. Open our eyes so that we are, I'll put it this way, so we are comfortable giving you the situation, believing you will work it out. Not that we can never get rid of our responsibilities and duties. Those are something God would have us to do. But in the middle of that I think we need to understand his heart, that we can truly depend upon him. And so if you're going to have really the prerequisite of God's leadership is that you trust God to lead you. Do you believe he can? Some of you have decisions to make this coming week. Or maybe the next couple months, can you trust that he will lead? And maybe that's a little different than trusting his leadership, but do you believe he will lead? Because some of us think, well, you know, the times in the Bible are a little different than times today. You know, I read my Bible on an electronic device. It's still the same Bible, doesn't matter where you read it. But can you trust him? Go back if you would. We'll jump right back here. But go back to Hebrews 11, just a reminder of how God's leadership sometimes works and really this trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. And Hebrews chapter 11, as most of you know, is the faith chapter. And I said verse 6, I meant verse 8. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And I love this lesson, the last part. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. How would you like that kind of leadership? I want you to go. Okay, Lord, where? Head south. Well, where? Head south. Well, where do you want me to go? Head south. Oh, okay, I'll head south. God's leadership, we need to trust him when he opens the door and we don't quite understand what he means by what he's doing. But it's interesting here that Abraham, that he did not know where he was going, but he just said, knew God wanted him to go, and so he went. He rested in his God. Have faith when you can't see the end. Trust when you're not sure exactly where he's leading. You know, I think of those times where we stop and say, God, I want to trust you, and we're seeking his face. I think God gives us insight into his truth, and at the same time, he gives us that direction. And there's joy in that, as the songwriter put it, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So God's directions is trust in the Lord with all your heart. The second thing is back here in Proverbs chapter 3, in verse number 5, is a caution. So we had the directions, trust the Lord with all thine heart, and then the caution, and lean not unto thine own understanding. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I think maybe he got that from this. So here is the ideal. The ideal, we may not always hit it, but the ideal is don't lean. Don't put your weight on your own understanding. Don't trust yourself in some ways. And so God's leadership is there to direct you as you put your weight on him. Let me give you some illustrations as far as that about God's leadership, man's failure. Go back to Joshua chapter 6 a moment. Joshua chapter 6. What happened? What's the primary thing about Joshua 6? When you turn there, you'll probably have it head note there in your Bible. What's it about? Someone talk to me. But Jericho. Okay, so Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. And did they win or lose? They won, okay? So that was a great victory. And so here is one of the perils we have when we begin to lean to our own understanding. When we have a victory or a success or something goes well and we praise God for it, and we're very clear that God did it and we're giving him the honor. And in that praise and in moving forward, notice chapter 7 and verse number 3. They send out spies to look at Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, in chapter 7, verse 3, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. Ai's a nothing town. Verse 4, so there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. It's not very many. This shouldn't be too hard. We've done it before. Hey, we know how to do this, so I call it the peril of success, or maybe even of experience. We know how to handle this thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Be careful about your success and your experience. Did you say, okay, I've got this handle. I've done this before. How many of us, and I know I would be guilty as charged, but we go to work, we've done this hundreds, if not thousands of times. We know what we're supposed to do. Why should I pray about work? Why should I talk to God about this? I know how to do it. Well, because you have to have a dependent spirit. If you want God's leadership, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thy own understanding, even if it's experience. But the good thing is, chapter 8, and I know most of you know the story, but just to reiterate, chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. It goes on, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, and go up to Ai. See, I have given it into thy hand. I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and the city, and the land, and thou shalt do to Ai and her king, as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it, and so forth. So they went up, and we know they got the victory. So remember, failure is never final, unless you continue to lean to your own understanding and start trusting God, and God will give you the victory. And so I think that's what happened here. But anyway, just remember the peril of success and experience. And then go to chapter 9, if you would. You remember chapter 9 is about a group of people called the Gibeonites, and they lived in the land of Canaan. And as they lived there, they heard about what Israel was come to do. They heard about the victory so far. And they also heard about what Israel was come to do, to really take out everybody as God directed them because of their sin and wickedness. God gave them 4 generations to repent of their sinfulness. God sent, really, I would say, not prophets, but preachers into that area of the world to say, repent, repent. And they didn't for four generations. And God said, that's it. And so he used Israel to deal with them in judgment. And so as they did so, the Gibeonites heard about that. And so they said, "Ooh, wow, we better somehow make a peace treaty. Maybe we can get there so they're not going to conquer us." And so what they did, they disguised themselves as if they were from a very far country and said, "Boy, we heard the rumor of you guys." And remember, they came in, they got the worst clothes they have. They got moldy bread, you know, from the bakery that was, you know, it wasn't 2 days old. It was, you know, 8 weeks old or whatever it was. And so they brought it. And remember, as they got there, they said, "Hey, are you guys part of the people here of Canaan?" And they said, no, we've come up from a far country. I heard about you guys. Man, look at our clothes. Man, we've been traveling for a long time. Man, we're just so tired. Everything's falling apart. Hey, look at this stuff. We brought it from fresh out of the bakery, and look at it now, it's moldy bread." And so they're showing all those things. Look at verse 14 of Joshua chapter 9. "So as they showed them all these things, and the men took of their victuals, and they asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord." All their evidence. So I call this the peril of knowledge and reasoning. Everything looked as if the story was true. Everything, you know, as far as they could tell and as far as they understood, everything was so. And it says the problem was, see, on one side you say, the Gibeonites were deceivers, and they were. But the text doesn't say it that way. If that was the main problem, then the text would have read that Israel was deceived by the Gibeonites, but that's not what it says. It says that Israel asked not at the mouth of the Lord. That implies something for us. What comes from a mouth? Words. It implies that God was willing and ready to give them instruction and insight. But they didn't seek. And so, folks, remember, there are times when we may examine it, we may reason through it, and everything seems, I'll even go this far as to say, everything seems biblically in line. But we need to stop and ask counsel of God. And I think at that time is when we seek God's face and we look for his direction. And I believe, and I've shared this with you before, but there are times when we go to prayer and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And I believe the Holy Spirit will take his word and bring either a biblical principle or bring a biblical story or bring an exact text to your mind. He said, "Here's the answer." Now, let me say that. You say, "Well, Pastor, when I do that, I get 14. That doesn't help me. I can't discern which one of those verses is to apply." And I understand that we are, and I always say this when you're talking about something very subjective and how God leads you and how God's giving you insight and understanding, I'm always very, very leery to double, triple check on that because I know that I may not be discerning too well of how the Holy Spirit's leading me. But as God brings truth to my mind and I say, okay, there's the biblical principle and here's my situation, boy, that applies. Okay, Lord, I'm trusting that if this is not your leadership, please direct me. Please give me further direction in this. And we know God's not going to lead contrary to his word. That's why I believe the Holy Spirit will often bring biblical truth back to your mind and heart. And so in this case, they did not seek that leadership and they blew it. So I would just say we have to be careful, even as God's people, that we don't lean to our experience, our knowledge, our understanding, even and our reasoning. Look at all this stuff. It seems to fit. And yet we need to come and say, "God, please lead me." I just think that dependent spirit is so important. I know Pastor Fricks and I have talked about this. You know, sometimes a student needs to be disciplined. And so we have some principles in our rule book. We have principles from the Word of God. And so we take those truths and we say, okay, here is what needs to be done. But knowing what God's Word says and directing along that line, I think you have to also come with a dependent spirit. And you say, "Lord, this looks like what we need. Are we discerning this right? Lord, lead us now. Direct us." That's what we all need. And so we need to turn to him. So let's lean not to our own understanding, whether that's past success and experience or whether it's present knowledge and reasoning. And I think ultimately it comes down to Matthew 16, 24, and don't turn there. That's where Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Deny himself. And so lean not to your own understanding. I know that Lord, but I want to depend upon you. So again, I'm not saying deny your reasoning. I'm not saying throw it out. I'm not saying ignore it, but I'm saying let's come with a dependent spirit as we look to God and see his leadership. So that's the caution. Lean not to your own understanding. And I think the cross is really the key there, to be humbled by what Christ has done for us and looking to him through that. So that's the directions, the caution. And then some more instructions there, back to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 6, really. The first there, in all thy ways acknowledge him. So again, another positive aspect. And so I'm break this down in two ways. So his instructions, I would say, under that, when it says in all thy ways acknowledge him, it would be talk to God about thy ways. In all thy ways, talk to God. In all thy ways, acknowledge. Have knowledge of God. Be thinking of him. Be bringing it to him. So in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And I would say that in prayer. There are times where I would think, I don't know if I guess, yeah, there's been a couple times where I earnestly prayed for, I would think back when I was a teenager, earnestly praying for something, and I probably should have never prayed about it because really if I thought about it, I wasn't very comfortable bringing it to God in the first place. And so sometimes, you know, and when you, if you can't, I'll put it this way, if you can't bring it to God, then you should obviously know this is probably not God's will. If you think, I probably shouldn't pray about this. This is probably, so I just wrote down some things. If your conscience is disturbed, then stop. God already spoke. If it violates a clear command of Scripture, then stop. God has already spoke. If your supervisors, your pastor, your boss, in some cases your parents, have already said no, then stop. God has already spoke. Now, in some cases concerning a personality, your boss or your parents, so forth, you can go again. But don't go contrary without asking them again, okay? Jonah didn't ask God if he should go to Tarshish instead of Nineveh. Demas didn't ask Paul if it was a problem going back into the world. Solomon didn't ask God, or I should say Demas didn't ask God. Solomon didn't ask God if when he was setting up idols there near Jerusalem. David didn't ask God when he called Bathsheba to his castle. There's a reason these men didn't pray in certain situations, because it was obviously not God's will. And so I would say the first thing, when you acknowledge God in all your ways, if you can't bring it to God in prayer, then stop! That's already a sign that it's not God's will and God's not going to lead you there. But then the second thing I would see is talk about God in thy ways. So you talk to God about the way that you believe God was having you go, and you're talking to him about it. And if you can't do that, then automatically stop. And then on the other side is talk about God as you go through your ways. In other words, acknowledge him in everything. Be talking about him. There's not a place where you ought not to acknowledge God. Go back to Joshua again just a moment. Joshua 1 and verse 8. Joshua 1 and verse 8. I think many of you know it. You know, something else I was going to mention about God's leadership, you know, to lean not to your own understanding. You know, sometimes we do fail, as Israel did going into the promised land. They had some setbacks here and there. But at the end of the line, in chapter 23, that Joshua says there, God has fulfilled all the promises he told us, and God has directed us and guided us. And so God still will direct overall and bring us to the place of his will and his leadership as we keep looking to him. Anyway, back to Joshua 1:8 and this thought about in all thy ways acknowledge him. Joshua 1:8, you know the verse, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And that concept there is that it always needs to be there so you can talk about it. And I think there's an aspect of counsel. Joshua, I want you to be able to direct the people so it's always in your mouth. There's something there, truth, they can look to you about knowing what they would, what God should have them to do, and they can get that counsel from you. So I think in all thy ways acknowledge him, that you're willing to speak about God. You're willing to talk about him. You're willing to let others know about him. And so as this goes on to say, the book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, thinking deeply about God's truth and about his word. And as you do that, it's a catalyst for you that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And as you obey, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and thou should have good success. And so just the thought here, in all thy ways acknowledge him, maybe say this book of the law, but let God not depart out of thy mouth. Let him always be on your lips. Let him always be there. The other day, on Saturday, we had our prayer time here, and you're all invited any Saturday. It'd be great to have more than a handful. here on Saturday, but if that works out for you on our monthly thing. But yesterday, one of the people who were here was Yvonne, and so as prior to the prayer time, she was sharing how she had, I said, well, how was your trip over? And I meant from her house to here. And she said, well, I wasn't at my house. And then she shared that she was walking with her Jewish friend who does not know the Lord. Correct, Yvonne? Yes. And so I was talking to her just about some things. And she said, well, I just always share with her, because we were talking about, you know, gospel witness and so forth. And she's done that already. But she says, I just share with her whatever comes to my mind. Whatever scripture truth comes to mind. So she's just walking with her friend just to have a friendship there, but at the same time, I know Yvonne's desirous to see her come to know Christ. But she's just sharing Christ and sharing God's truth. That's what this means. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, be able to talk about God, his grace, his mercy, his power, his compassion, his holiness, his righteousness, whatever it happens to be, if it comes to your mind in that, be willing to share it with saints and sinners. Let them know, folks, and I think we're to a place in our country because we have not done that. We have not, in all our ways, acknowledged God. And so God is not in the public square anymore. And they're trying to push him out of the public square and trying to push him out of the arena of thoughts and ideas that can be discussed publicly. And so let us be, as this says, let us acknowledge him wherever we are and whoever we're with. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I'd have to raise my hand. Have you ever been in a situation where a thought about God or about his truth or a Bible verse came to your mind in the middle of a conversation, and it may have been a little awkward, but it wouldn't have been too awkward, and you said, nah, I don't want to share that. Now, you didn't say that out quite like that, but we didn't. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, wherever you're at. Let me show you an example of that. Go back to Ezra. If you would, Ezra chapter 8. So back to the left a little bit. Verse 21. I think we could say that Ezra and even Nehemiah were both men who were greatly led by God in a lot of things. But notice verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there. Okay, so there doesn't mention prayer, but obviously they were going to have a time of prayer and fasting. So Ezra 8, verse 21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava that we might afflict ourselves before our God. And that was the aspect of the fasting, that they wouldn't have food. That was afflicting themselves before our God to seek of him, that's the prayer, seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Now, what I want you to see is the next verse. Here is the reason why they were going to fast and pray. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers. Now, let me just set back up. They're heading back to Jerusalem from where they're at in captivity. And so they're heading back. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Now, stop a moment. Would that have been a wrong thing to do, to ask the person who is more or less sending you back in a way to help you, to protect you? Nothing went wrong with that per se. But notice what he goes on to explain why. Because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them that for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. So here was Ezra. He said, you know, in all my ways I acknowledged him. I told it to the king, and I told it to his court, and I told it to everybody I know, that God protects those who walk with him. God deals with those who are disobedient. And so when I came, that we were heading back to the land, to be about a four-month trip, that I told them, I didn't want to get any guards, because I told them God will protect us. And so he says, we're going to try this. And so what did he do? He fasted and prayed. God, I need your help. They trusted in the Lord with all their heart. And I'll show you in just a moment, but the last point, don't turn back to Proverbs. Stay here, because I want to show you one more thing here. But the fourth point from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is, and he shall direct thy path. So those three things, the direction, the caution, and then the instruction there that God gives, in trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That's a promise. So notice what happened with Ezra, chapter 8, verse 31. Then we departed from the river Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us, And I thought this next phrase tells us that maybe they did run into some problems. And he delivered us from the hand of the enemy, and of such as lay in wait by the way. In other words, they probably saw some people lying in wait. They probably saw some enemies. And maybe they even had to battle them a little bit. Doesn't tell us exactly that, but he did deliver them. That means there was confrontation and then brought out of a situation. And verse number, and we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days, and then they did more after that. But here's what I want you to say is that God protected them. They didn't need the king because he had testified, our God does this, and our God does this, and our God does this. And then all of a sudden, okay, Ezra, and maybe the Lord didn't require to say it this way. Okay, Ezra, now put your money where your mouth is. You talked about this. Let's see God do it. Lord, help us. Help us for your sake, for your testimony. We talk about you all the time. Think about that. If you talked about God all the time and how great he is, then all of a sudden a crisis came into your life, what would you have to do? I better trust God because I told everybody I could. I told everybody that God is trustworthy. Now I've got to trust him. And so let's realize that God's there for us. So let's say that verse together. If you don't know it exactly, let's turn there to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's all say it together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So as we rely upon the Lord, don't lean and trust ourselves, but be trusting God, be acknowledging him in everything we do. You know what we're doing in that? We're having a close walk with God. And as we walk close with God, he will direct our paths. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this simple proverb that gives a powerful message about our responsibility, but how you will direct us. Father, give us grace to not be self-dependent, but to be more God-dependent. Lord, help us to rely upon you in a greater way. Lord, we pray that you might bring to our minds those times that we are trusting in ourselves, just to remind us to look to you. Lord, often we're not doing that because we're overtly sinful. We're not trying to discard you or throw you aside. We just seem to be going about our business. And so, Lord, at those times we ask, even as corporately as a church, but as individuals here, Lord, we ask that you'd bring to our minds, trust me, so we can pause for a moment and look to you and rely upon you to guide us even as we go about our daily business. And Lord, we thank you that you will direct us. You will guide in our lives as we trust you.